Well, the weekend's over, so it's time to chat about it. Got a midget and a dude, so why don't you sit down and listen to our dope podcast during lunch, dinner, or breakfast. Brad Williams and Adam Ray are here for you any time of the day. So come on and treat yourself right. It's about last night.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the About Last Night show. I am your host, Brad Williams. Over there is the co-star of the $40 million blockbuster hit, The Heat, Adam Ray. And over sitting across from us is the very unimpressed Bobby Lee. Bobby, welcome to the...
Your voice does not match your body.
I'm sorry, dude.
You have to sound differently.
I'm sorry. Get a little closer to that microphone.
You have to sound differently.
Yes. As a midget podcast host, I should.
Well, welcome. Let's hold out.
Yeah, Bobby Lee
in studio.
I'm supposed to sound like this. Good to be here, everybody. It's good.
And I'm supposed to go, guys, so hot in here. How can you believe the weather?
You're not Italian or...
I'm Russian Jew. That was a Jew.
That's right. Yeah. Oh,
okay. What did you think when you had you met a midget before you met Brad?
Oh yeah, I've known dwarves all my life.
He banged about seven in Thailand.
No, but like summer vacation, I went to Middle Earth. I did because my parents had some money, so we went to Middle Earth.
It's a very
when I was
hot
eighth grade. Yeah, it was
a very hot vacation spot,
fantastic,
Middle Earth. You know, I mean, Mordor, kind of tropical.
Yeah.
But whatever, it's cool.
I mean, we did pumpkin patches. You know what I mean over there. In Hobbiton.
What, with Charlie Brown and the crew?
Yeah.
That's fun.
They were all there.
They're all good.
You know, I hung out with trees. They just kind of like held me.
While I have shaved, Bobby Lee comes in sporting the very creepy mustache today. So thank you, Bobby Lee.
I have had it for a couple years, but that's rude.
For matching our creepy
you're
mustache.
You're attacking me, and that's weird.
It looks good on you, though.
I said some bad things about it. Remember when I first showed up and you came to the gate?
Oh, yeah.
Tell them what I said.
I came up to pick Bobby Lee up at the gate out front of the little Hebrew cafe here. And then Bobby just goes like, man, how long did it take you to get here?
And then what's the second thing?
He's like, did you have to ride a horse?
No, I said, I'm going to buy you a pony. That's what I said.
Yeah.
And then you said Shetland pony.
Yeah, Shetland pony, because those are like...
You already have the brand of pony that you want?
Every dwarf grows up wanting a pony. That's just...
Don't say it like an asshole, like I'm supposed to know that.
No one knows that.
Yeah, that's new
just
information.
Part of our DNA. I don't know. We all know how to wield a battle axe, and we all want a fucking pony. That's it.
Yeah.
See, I still will always... You know John Stamos is afraid of Brad, by the way? He did a show at the K-Rock April Foolishness at Gibson Amphitheater, and Saget was on it a couple years ago. Stamos was there, is actually, like, legitimately afraid of dwarves.
Yeah.
wouldn't want to stand next to him because thought he turned to stone. Like,
No, seriously?
Yeah. Like,
was he joking around?
No.
That's hilarious.
We've tweeted at him because we're trying to be like, hey, man.
Yeah, do the show.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I want him to sit in your very seat and then be trembling the entire time.
I have that with clowns, but not with dwarves.
For real?
They're
in the same category, aren't they?
No, because
we're both circus. You can both
no. That's not
fit a lot of us in one car.
That's the most race. Oh, and I was at sizes thing you've ever said.
I'm wondering if Stamos thinks that like if Brad winks at him, he's gonna have dreams of being chased by Oompa Loompas or like what's gonna happen? Like
I don't know. He probably thinks it's contagious because he's a perfect male specimen and he knows if he like hangs out with the lights of me, then he'll just start shrinking and the Greek godness that is John Stamos will slowly.
Dude, you could probably tap equal amount of ass.
me and Stamos.
I've heard stories on the road about you, pal.
Yeah, you know the rumors get around.
Yeah. Why are you doing that?
Sorry.
How could you do that to my?
Okay, we're
hey
we're
Bobby.
Bobby.
So this is where movie stars live. This little place.
Hey, this is an upgrade from my last apartment.
It doesn't matter, dude. This is not movie star place.
Yeah, like you're supposed to have tables that are built with whores.
Now what did you? What was your? So would you say that the Tonight Show was your first, like, hey, I made it?
That's the best segue I've ever heard.
I'm saying because, like, you're saying that about this, and, like, somebody already said to me, like, hey, the movie's $40 million, man, what are you going to buy? What's your first, what are you going to buy? I was like, my rent? Am I going to pay that, hopefully, in the next couple?
I think TV is the way you're going to buy
money.
A house.
Yeah.
Because it's like
D'Elia money.
affiliate money, I suppose it's just a nice paycheck at the end of the week, but that like movies are just one pop things. But you're going to make residuals for the next.
From the DVDs, right?
Yeah, just in general, you'll just make like. I mean, I know dudes that were on like Titanic and stuff that make like $10,000-$15,000 a year just.
What? Yeah. Holy shit. Just like
just
so
free, just free money. And these guys have had like a couple of lines or whatever.
So this is just like whenever they show like so when they show the Heat on TBS, very funny, in like 2 years, then he's gonna get a check for
well
that.
It's gonna play, I mean, you have to understand it's gonna play all over the world, right? So
right.
It's gonna be like you're gonna go to Thailand and you're gonna be in a brothel, right? And some
yeah.
lady go, oh
yeah, yeah.
My
no, no, this is all
so
this
go,
all
oh
sounds
my
accurate.
God, the Heat or oh you do you know, something like that.
Wait, would I get a better massage if they knew I was in it?
No, but they would suck your hairy dick.
Hey, I keep it well groomed.
No, it's hairy.
No, I keep it well groomed.
Trimmed?
Gross and hairy.
So you're like hairy everywhere else on your body, but then when it comes to the dick, 12-year-old girl or something?
He doesn't want to talk about that because his mom listens to the
podcast. Oh, that's true. That's true. His mom does listen to the podcast.
What?
Thanks for coming here.
Okay. Another weird.
Can I, no, no. Let me just say, yeah, let me just say. And I know you hate compliments, but Bobby Lee is the reason that I even got to do that movie. Bobby Lee is the reason I even got
how?
To do that movie.
How?
Really? Let me tell you how, man. All right. Let me tell you how.
Because I got you that movie. I couldn't even get in that movie. So how the fuck did I not get in that movie?
Right.
I can get other people in the movie.
Well, that may be true.
Yeah, yeah.
But you plucked me from the store. Let me open for you for 2 years. Yes, it did, man. Because
how does that? I didn't get you the movie,
dude,
though.
Dude, yeah, listen to this.
Raises your profile.
This, no. But the amount of experience and growth I got in those 2 years in stand-up helped in everything else. And then it helped in all these auditions in the room. It helped me just the confidence level with Allison Jones, who cast the movie and then got me.
Yeah, okay.
So
well, you're welcome.
Thank you.
Basically, basically, Bobby's looking at you like, okay, where's my check then? Right?
Yeah,
like
where's other things too? Like, you know, where's my ass? I need ass. From
you know? He needs residual ass now. Bobby, here's my Bobby Lee story. I ran into Bobby about 2 years ago. Now I had met you before, but you didn't remember meeting.
Wait, when did I meet you?
The first time we met was opening for Mencia at that. Casino up north.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You guys both started opening for
Yeah, we're both school of
Mencia. And how long was that? Like 12 years ago, right?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. And then I saw you again about maybe 4 years later, and you didn't remember meeting me.
That's not true.
No, because you said, Brad, I've never met you before. And I'm like, no, I've met you before. And you said to me, fine, if I've met you before, what color is my dick? And I said, it's purple. You said, holy shit, I have met you before.
Yeah. It's a dark purple.
You do.
It's a very dark purple.
you do have a grimace dick.
Yeah, it's ethnic and it's very dark. But it's nothing. I don't tan it or anything. You know what I mean? It's just like like I go sunbathing. With you know what I mean? And
hey, you don't go dick tanning?
Yeah, it's always covered. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
23 and a half no hours of the day.
You have no problem taking it out though. Honestly.
I don't have a problem. But the thing is that why is it so dark? I don't know. That's what God. It's a mystery.
What? But my thing is that just about everyone that I talk to who knows you has seen your dick.
Yeah. But
yeah.
Yeah, but you know, you gotta showcase things, you know what I mean? Like I try to showcase, you know, what I'm good at, you know.
Of course.
So comedy.
At what point did you get comfortable bearing your body?
I've always been like that, even as a kid, and it's not like
would you do it like Thanksgiving dinners with the family?
It's for control. It has
yeah, of course. It's for control.
It's control.
Totally.
It's
people respect and fear.
Now with guys especially, you know what I mean? Like I'll just throw it out as an example, Theo Vaughn, you know him?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, comic.
He's a comedian, yeah. He's kind of homophobic, right?
Yeah.
But over the years.
Is he really?
I've kind of like chipped away. I'm not gay at all,
right.
But I've chipped away at that. You know what I mean? And now he's kind of like, he'll let me like rub my penis against his jeans or something.
Wow.
But see, I'm just trying
I almost started crying.
Yeah,
right
I know.
There.
I know. Like, that's too, that's man. I'm crying right now, too.
I think that's the next.
I'm trying to teach people, right, to be more open.
Sure. Yeah, I think I.
That's what my. That's what the goal of life is.
It is.
Why I'm here.
That's what you're here for.
I think that's your new show on Comedy Central. Right. Is that you just go to red states and like rub your dick up on people and make them a little more tolerant?
Make me not homophobic.
Yeah,
TLC
with Bobby Lee.
Yeah, well, I've already pitched it. But no, it's a control thing. It's like also, I always find it funny, you know, too. So
well, there's something about male nudity is distinctly funny. Like female nudity, sexy or possibly disgusting. Male nudity, funny.
Yeah.
Like, if three chicks just ran down the street naked and they're hot, it's like, oh, wow, I want to totally bang those chicks. But, Bobby, if you and I run down the street naked, that's like... That's like
because you and I, like, on paper, are unfuckable. You know what I mean? It's like,
if you
it's
look
not
at the
threatening
stat sheet,
at all.
If you look at the stat sheet of Bobby Lee and Brad Williams, you're like, these guys are not getting any ass whatsoever.
Now, why is it that the penis is so funny to take out and show to dudes and get laughs,
no,
but women can't do it with the vagina?
You know who does it is Annie Letterman. You know her?
Yeah, I saw her take a boob out once.
Yeah, she takes her boob and tries to smear it against my face. And that's funny in that way. You know?
Yeah.
But her breast is so, I don't like it.
Can you describe it?
It's pale. You know, the border isn't like neat around the nip, from the nipple to the breast part. I like a perfect circle.
Sure.
Wow. I don't like it where it's like, oh, I'm Africa. Or like, you know what I mean? Like, it's not a circle, but it's more of like a jagged edge.
Ever seen the map of Kenya?
That's what it looks
like. So, like, if it's like the Richter scale going up and down as the border of the nipple, you're not for that.
Yeah, well, here's the worst kind of nipple, right? Is the ones that just blend in.
Where you don't see a border.
The camouflage
nipples. There's no border, yeah. It's just like, you know what I mean? Like... stand on your own, you know?
Be your own nipple.
Be your own nipple, you know what I mean? Like, but they just blend
have
in
a personality,
like,
yeah.
Like you, some Midwestern person who just wants to get that 9-to-5 job, you know what I mean? And like, I'm going to go to college and have kids and have that 9-to-5. No, it's like, you know what I mean? Be you, you know what I mean?
Just be the nipple.
Yeah, be the nipple.
Well, because as guys, we want that because we want to know when should we start getting excited because we want to know, okay, wait, are we looking at nipple now?
Yeah,
at nipple now? And if it's that blended part, you're like, wait, should I be getting a boner?
Yeah.
Like there was a woman last night who sings.
I don't forget that we don't. We've got to keep talking about the nipples. But go on.
Okay. Yeah. Well, this is still on the lines of nipples. There was a woman in the front row of my show last night at the Ventura Harbor Comedy Club who had a nipple just pretty much out and not like see through. Like it was just low cut shirt, and I didn't acknowledge it the entire time because I just enjoyed looking at it throughout my show, and I feel it was really good. Really good motivation.
Yeah.
Now, what's your nipple thing that you were going to bring up?
No, I'm just saying I'm not done with like what kind of nipples I don't like.
Okay. There's more.
I don't like the chocolate chip. You know how it's just like the chocolate chip.
The chocolate chip nip.
Yeah, it's just like one black dot or whatever, or like a dot.
Now, who has that? Is there a specific race?
Oh, there's so many people have them. Well. Well, no.
Well, chocolate.
Chocolate.
Kind of gives
it
away.
No, chocolate.
So Bobby Lee doesn't like black people. Is that what you're trying to say?
I meant chocolate. Just their nipples, man. Not in terms of color, but in terms of like size.
Bobby Lee vacations with Paula Deen.
It can be a white chocolate. It can be
white chocolate. It's just a dot.
I just don't like the dot. Yeah. Right? Okay. You know how I like, you know what I mean? And then I don't like the kind that Annie Letterman has. I want a circle. And I don't like bumps on it. I like the...
bumps?
The,
I don't... Yeah,
no, no. I like the bump that the milk comes out of.
Yeah.
But I don't like their brothers and sisters around. You know what I mean? You know how there's like little brothers and sisters around? I go, we're a family. Yeah, yeah. No, I want one bump.
Yeah, there's
the nipple bumps. You're I just want the one. I want to use child.
Milk. Yeah, where does the milk come out? That's all. All right, that's my thing on nipples.
That is, as crazy as that sounds to like, you know, dissect and of like what you like and what you don't like, that is a, I mean, you know, that's a factor when you're meeting somebody.
Sure.
You can connect on all sorts of levels, but if they've got one dot and it's misplaced and there's weird.
Let's talk about vagina now.
Ooh, the vag?
Yeah. Go ahead. What do you like?
I like.
Is this a Christian thing? What?
No.
All right, let's go.
I like a vag being there. Like, first
that's
of
all,
I'm pretty cool with it.
Yeah.
But I like you don't like the huge like docking bay door flaps that are like open out there to where like if like she was going to crash, she's like letting these out for like wind resistance drag like.
I don't like that
almost
either.
Like old saloon doors. Like you feel like a villain's gonna come out and be like.
I don't like it when you're down there, right? And it's just like jazz hands. Like the lips are going. You know what I mean? I want a flower. Like I want something to like be closed, and then it just kind of gently opens.
Yeah, leave something to be. You know.
But I don't. Does that happen because of years of having sex, or is that genetic?
A little bit of both, probably.
Yeah, I think it's genetic because I've been with girls before who claim that they were only with like four or five guys, and just it looked like their vagina swallowed a grenade.
Yeah,
like it was just
aerial shot of Vietnam,
including the little Asian boy running towards the camera naked, going, "Help us!" Yeah. So I think it certainly can be genetic. But now, like, they have a whole business in Hollywood. They have like vaginal rejuvenation surgeries and like stuff to like clean shit up. And that's like,
how much do you think that costs?
I don't know.
It's like, probably.
But like, that's something that
I don't see why you wouldn't get that if I were a woman, right? Like, just
well, I'll be going there every week.
Just for a little.
If I was
cleanup?
A woman, I'd be fucking every, like 24/7 for money. For like, you know what I mean? Like, how much money you could make?
Yeah,
it's my.
If you're,
weekly.
It's like a prime. You know? You know how you freak a girl out on a date?
Hi, hi, I'm Bobby Lee. Step one.
Looking to scare a woman.
That's rude. Just look at her right from across the dinner table and go, hey, did you know that the size and shape of a woman's mouth is directly proportional to the size and shape of your vagina, right? And then just stare at her mouth the whole dinner. And they start doing this. They start going, they cover.
They're curling their lips.
They'll cover their mouth. You know what I mean? Just keep staring at it. It's the best. Now, they'll never see you again. But
sure.
It's
no.
Fun,
yeah,
dinner.
But it's a great
fun
joke.
Dinner.
Yeah, it's a great story dinner. You could bring up. Holy shit. If you guys have never seen Bobby Lee do stand-up, when he comes
how
to a town near you,
you
we got about like between 6,000 and 10,000 downloads an episode.
It's more than that.
Oh, it's more now?
Yep.
Fuck yeah.
All right.
We're doing well, Jay Moore Podcast Network. Thank you, Fake Mustache.
You're under Jay Moore's thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Just joined it like a month ago.
What is that? How do you do that?
Basically, Jay Moore has a thing for midget hand jobs. He likes the small hands around his cock. Yeah. And, you know, because he's got two, like, teacup Yorkie dogs. So he likes really small things.
I love them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. His dogs are great. I think Gene Wilder's name of one. I don't know. We're talking about Yorkies. But basically, I jerked off Jay Moore. And that's how we got the job here.
That's a lie, right?
Well, maybe.
Yeah, it is. It is. It is, because he's married and you're not gay. And I don't like being lied to.
Pull the rug out.
Come
from
on,
that
yes time. And, right. Bobby. You got a yes and this shit.
Oh, do it again.
Okay, basically, I jerked off Jay Moore, and then he gave us a spot.
All right.
Yo, can I have a good Bobby Lee story. I went to Washington, D.C. with this guy who doesn't like to go outside when he travels. Doesn't like to
you
see.
Don't?
Well, he doesn't like to see touristy things, which I can get.
I don't like touristy things.
Yeah, but you're in Washington, D.C., so I was like, we have to go see like the Lincoln Memorial
stuff.
We don't
have to do anything.
Yeah, we don't have to do anything. We did go to an Asian nightclub, though, and I've never seen anybody treated more like a fucking beetle in my entire life.
Well, that's because they thought he was John Cho.
That's so rude.
No, because I know your joke about how you lose every role to John Cho.
No, I thought he was Sandra Oh.
Sandra Oh.
Anyway.
No, but so we're walking around, right?
Hey, you.
We're walking around, and Bobby on Matt TV had this character that had a catchphrase. It said, okay, hot dog.
Uh-oh,
hot dog. And holy shit, dude. That thing was like Rick James, bitch, for its
really?
Time, right? Yeah. So this is how pop...
Because I remember the character was awesome.
Yeah.
No. I mean, if I could have it over again, if I have a time machine, I go back to the day that I was in that writer's office and the writer went, okay, and he says, uh-oh, hot dog. I would have said, no, I'm not doing it.
Did you just have a lot of people just walking up to you on the street going, uh-oh,
I mean, it was
hot dog.
It was good the first time we did it, but then like after like the 19th time, you just kind of.
Yeah,
I can't say.
I don't even know why it's funny anymore.
And here's to let you know the popularity of it. Walking down the street in D.C. at like 2 in the morning, about to go to this like, I think it was called like Benson's, like fucking like chili bowl hot dog place.
Okay.
And we walk by, and there's a homeless guy chewing on a shoe or making a fucking like making a time machine out of a Diet Coke can or something.
As they
and
do.
He looks up and he goes, "Hey, I know you." And we're walking down, and he's, you know, and Bobby goes, oh, hello, hey, nice to see you. Hey, thank you so much. And he goes, no. Uh-oh, hot dog. And I was like, what the fuck? This guy doesn't have a
TV. He's such a big fan. He watches you in the TV stores, like, through the window, and through that he got
he was
hot
eating
dog.
Tapioca pudding out of a helmet, and he second said, I know who you are.
No, the thing is that I realized homeless people and people like that, they do watch TV.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, they'll either end up in like a week in prison that has TV or...
Or a Best Buy.
Or a halfway house or something.
Right,
at one point in their lives they have, okay?
Mm.
So it's not like they're staring through a fucking suburban window like watching Mad TV.
Sometimes they are.
Okay, guys.
I hope so, but that still's got to feel good though when you know that many people recognize
it. Doesn't
you.
Feel good.
That doesn't feel good.
No,
but people love you, dude.
It doesn't feel good because I don't like. It's like you know, I mean, I guess in the beginning your intention is for people to know you are, but it's like now it's like there's just certain things that like I just felt like I shouldn't have done and stuff. Like, well, I mean, I'd rather do quality than like being, you know what I mean?
Of course.
Recognized or whatever.
What would be your perfect level of fame? What's like your dream level of fame?
I think where I'm at now, I mean, is okay.
Mm-hmm. You like it?
Yeah, I mean, it's still like I've been under the radar ever since Mad, kind of, and like, I mean, I've worked and stuff, but like nothing too.
You work a ton, and you work in awesome movies like Pineapple Express.
I know, but they're like little lines here and there. You know what I mean? It's like
yeah, but the stand-up's keeping you like
stand-up is the money. Is the money is how I make my money? But you know, I just want to. I'm doing that cartoon, but it's like, you know, I do like little things. You know.
You said you went to you got with that boy band. What did you say you did? You just recently did with them.
What boy band?
And there was a YouTube sensation boy band or something. You did something.
No, it's not a YouTube sensation. They're called Midnight Beast UK. They're like more of a parody rock band, but they're really cool. But I do little things like that. I was in Arrested Development this season, the last one, whatever. I'm doing this thing with Seth Meyers, you know, called The Awesomes, the cartoon.
Yep.
But I do, you know, I just do one things that I want to do, and then like the things. 99% of the calls I get are things that I don't want to do, so I just don't do them.
Well, that's a great spot to be in your career where you can just say,
I could be making way more money, but it's like, and I might have made some mistakes, but it's like when people call and go, hey, do you want to do this Nickelodeon show where you play a surfer, surf instructor, and it's like, you know what I mean? And there's green slime and stuff. And I'm like, no, I don't want to do that.
And do you, do you just have an immediate gut instinct, a feeling right away that you just listen to?
I just don't want to do that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, no, you know?
But
like, it's like when Sasha, like, was doing The Dictator, I mean, I didn't really know what it was, but you know what I mean? When he, because he had called and said, do you want to do the table read before he even got in the movie? Of course I'm going to do that because to me, he's, you know,
a genius.
A genius, and he's a nice guy, and I, you know.
That's pretty incredible that he called, that he specifically asked for you.
Well, you know, when he was in Bruno, I improvised with him a couple of times for that too, and I met him through he saw me perform in Vegas like 11 years ago.
That's awesome.
And
again, stand up coming
Anthony
through, right?
Anthony Kiedis brought him from the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Did they tell you that Anthony Kiedis is in the audience before the show?
Well, he's a friend, right? So Kiedis and. And Flea and Spade were there, and they brought Sacha Baron Cohen. So and then they took me to dinner, which was like the most uncomfortable dinner.
Why?
Because it was one of those things where it's like, you know, Sasha went like, "Oh, you're very talented, and you want to go eat steak with us?" And I go, "All right." And then we went to Caesar's, right, the steakhouse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they closed down an area of the restaurant, you know, and it was just like roped off. But beyond the rope, there was like literally like 600 people just staring us eating. You know what I mean? And it was me, Anthony, Sasha, my friend Louie, Flea, and Spade.
Dude, what a fucking eclectic group of people.
I know, but
was Raven Simone there too?
No.
Just to fucking top it off.
Jesus. Carl Rove was there. It was Carl Rove. But
Dave Coulier was
Dave
there.
Yeah, Dave Coulier was there. Yeah.
As he does.
For some reason, Pol Pot.
obscure characters.
I don't know if he was alive.
I love it.
I'm eating steak, like going, eat this as fast as you can. You know what I mean? Because I got to get out of here. It felt so uncomfortable.
Just having anxiety or what?
I had anxiety, but then you can't just go, I have anxiety, and leave. You know what I mean? You have to fucking do it. You know?
But at least knowing that, like, with David Spade there, you weren't even the smallest guy at the table.
Yeah.
Because, like,
he's actually taller than me.
Spade is?
Yeah.
Spade's like an inch taller than me, dude.
I know. I'm only like a half inch taller.
Holy shit. That.
And I'm average size for my ethnicity, though.
Yo, when you... Ben Kingsley. I remember you telling me before you went out there, you're like, I have scenes with Ben Kingsley.
Yeah.
And the look on your face was just like, the fuck?
Yeah, like it doesn't...
It was a face of like, this is going to be awesome, but fuck, I'm terrified because Ben Kingsley is just like on a different level.
As a comic, you only associate with comedians, right? Like guys like... That, like, you know, like you guys that are like, I mean, I respect you and stuff like that, but we're in the same profession.
Sure.
And also, we all struggled in the same way, open mics, and it's tough and this and that, but we never think that we're going to be in situations where, you know, you're going to be with, like, guys that are knighted and that are, like, the best actors in the world.
Yeah,
right?
you're doing a scene with Gandhi.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Academy Award winner or whatever. So it's like when you show up, you know what I mean? There's a little bit of fear.
Of course.
You know what I mean? Because. you feel like that they're going to see through you and go, oh, he's an open micer comic.
Whoa.
Got lucky. You
know
what I mean? In your head, like deep down.
Yeah,
I've been able to, I've learned how to mask that insecurity. So I show up to places and I can look people in the eye and like pretend that I know what I'm doing.
It's awesome.
You know what I mean? And that's
a skill in itself,
man. That's a skill. You
fake it till you make it.
Yeah, you fake it. So it's like, and then I do it and they go, oh, that was good. And you kind of go,
oh, cool. And then then you settle in.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I tricked him.
Yeah, I tricked him. That's what it is, you know?
Now, I mean, it is a little bit of that open mic mentality of being, like, so scared. Then you get a laugh, and you're like, okay, cool.
I mean,
they think
I
know
what I'm doing. You were just in a movie with Sandra Bullock. How did that feel?
Terrified.
Yeah,
my first scene was holding guns at them.
And you're motorboating
and I was terrified.
Or something,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, you get terrified.
Yeah, and I was just like, what am I doing here? Like, they're going to know that I just fucking... Two months ago, I made a sketch where I pretend to be Jay Leno doing a PSA. Jay Leno doing a PSA for burp farts, and now I'm holding guns at Academy Award winners.
Yeah,
I was terrified. But then, like, one thing happened that settles you in, and but I was pretending to be like, and you know, as soon as we improvised something and they laughed, and Melissa was like, oh, that was funny, you should do that again. I was like, okay, cool, I'm supposed to be here.
Well, yeah, once that happens, you're fine. But listen, I've also had nightmarish thing happen on, you know what I mean, acting gigs, you know what I mean, where it's like, they just don't like, you know what I mean?
Like what?
This is the worst in an acting gig where you're they're behind.
Oh, right.
Right. And then
they have to rush through your
first
shit.
Scene, right? And they're like, you got to get it.
Oh, yeah.
You got to get it. Yeah. You know what I mean? This is the worst.
Yeah.
You know, because you're just like, this is my first day here, and this is not fun.
No.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. You have a whole crew there that's bonded for a couple of days.
Oh,
and
the
worst. And you know that.
Yeah, and if you don't get this first thing, now you just notice the guy who can't fucking deliver.
Yeah, I mean, you're able to do it, but it's like, it's just not a good feeling, I guess, you know?
Did you feel that on Mad at all ever, or did you just kind of, like, get comfortable right away?
The first 2 years of Mad was the worst 2 years of my whole entire life.
Oh, shit.
Wow.
It was sheer nightmarish and horror.
Well, because people don't realize the pressures of a weekly sketch comedy show. You're writing constantly. You're trying to get your bits in. And when you're at those table reads, you're reading your stuff surrounded by your coworkers, hoping that they approve.
Yeah, but you were on mine, Demencia, right?
Yeah.
So in that situation, a little different because you're friends with Ned, right?
Right.
So it's like you really.
I'm friends with Demencia, yeah.
Yeah, Carlos, I mean, sorry.
Ned. Yeah. It's okay. Everyone knows his name is Ned. Yeah. It's fine.
No, we're talking about Ned Flanders.
There is pressure there, right?
Yeah.
But the thing is that. Imagine, though, you didn't know Ned, and that's what Mad was like.
Right.
I don't know any of these people.
Right.
They don't really like me because they don't know me, right?
Is it competitive, too?
Yeah, it's competitive,
oh,
right?
Oh, God.
Like, if I was on a show with people that I knew already,
sure,
that would have been much easier. But see, these people, they're all vying for their job, right? And there's only a certain amount. Like, imagine them hiring 4 new people, and they're only going to keep one.
Jesus.
And then you have 4 weeks to prove yourself.
It was like that every week.
Yeah, right? So it's like, and then like 1 week, the first week, you're not in anything because none of your stuff got picked up, right? And then you have, oh my God, I have 3 more weeks or I'm
Jesus.
Dead. You know what I mean? So that kind of like, you know what I mean, pressure was the worst for a guy like me.
Of course. No, well, also because I was like,
I wasn't meaning to downplay your thing because I know, I understand that there's, you know, in any kind of table read, there's a lot of pressure there.
Sure.
But sketch shows like SNL and Mad TV are more set up like a fight. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's cutthroat.
It's cutthroat. Yeah.
To
so then with that element in it, you know, and everyone's generally a nice person.
So people are rooting for each other or no?
But when I became the guy that like, I knew I couldn't get fired, which is probably my third year. Right?
Wow.
I'm like,
was it one sketch that kind of just
I just kind of came into my third year going, okay.
They need me.
I think I could stay here for as long as I want.
Yeah.
You know?
But that's 2 years of every day going to
suffering.
Work, going, what the fuck is going to happen?
Now, do
today?
You feel like your game raises as far as, like, I really got to write really great shit, or do you end up writing shit that you're like, this will be funny, even though I don't think it's funny?
I think the key is to, like, I was a stand-up, so I just kind of, you know, I decided to do more sketches that were, like, more me playing myself, you know what I mean? Like, people coming to my apartment or whatever, rather than, like
the 24 one. With,
instead of trying to write, like,
Navarro.
Oh, I'm a crazy character and I'm in this situation,
right.
You know what I mean? I just kind of went, you know, I think my strength is more just being naturally funny, so I just kind of wrote things that were like that.
And that's your first, that was like your first big gig, right? That was kind of like your first break. And as a stand-up, we're used to getting the immediate feedback where we tell the joke and bam, audience laughs. We know right then if that joke is good or not. When you're writing sketches, you don't know.
You don't know, yeah.
You don't know, and even in a table read, like, you can read it there, and everyone likes it, but then you go in front of a live audience, yeah. And now you have silence. You're like, what the shit?
Yeah, they don't know.
So, yeah, so not having that immediate feedback, and it's the same thing when you're making a movie.
It's everything. Sure. It's everything that's on tape, you know what I mean, is like that. You know what I mean? But I don't even necessarily, like, here's the thing about The Road, though, the immediate feedback. It disappears, right? So right. It's like you can kill one show.
Mm-hmm.
But you'll never have that back again, right? But with movies, it stays on forever. So that's the good thing about movies. Like, you're going to do you did the heat, right? And it'll just keep living in these different mediums, you know what I mean? Like, on someone's iPad or, like, somewhere in, like, even 10 years from now.
Someone can still
Moscow,
enjoy.
Maybe Moscow, yeah. like, becomes a hit in Moscow. Right? And you're, like.
And also, I can travel to fucking Russia.
Right, you're, and
Adam
Ray,
we want you to come in.
Hey, have you tried the new peanuts on Southwest?
If you could do us a favor for your closing bit, if you could rub your face in Sandra Bullock titty, just like you did in the heat, you would kill here, my friend.
Would you kill. Would you wear this homemade jacket that I made out of Mythical Beast? It's made out of woolly mammoth cum.
No, but you're right, because when you do a stand-up show, you have the show of your life. It's done.
Yeah.
And now, okay, now they're doing the late show, and you got to do it all over again.
Yeah.
And you haven't. And these people don't know what the fuck you did in the first show. You're building it all back up again.
Do you think there's any other occupation that is comparable to the high and low, immediate high and low that we go through after shows?
Strippers.
No, somebody said that they did.
Denny's waitresses.
I think they did a test of, like, stress. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they said that comedians have the same amount of stress levels as a jet pilot. You know what I mean? Like, somebody
what?
Actually, yeah, somebody actually did, like.
That doesn't make me feel good.
No, but it's an.
They take off and then they're just fucking.
No, it's
bored
a testament that we can handle a lot of, like, pressure and stress. You know what I mean? And eventually we get used to that, right? But it's like that's the amount of stress and pressure that's on us, you know?
Well, think about it. I mean, it's something that people, and we're all stand-ups here, people come up to us all the time and say, I could never do what you do, or I'm terrified of public speaking. And that's true. But as much stress as we get from that, and as much as is caused by that, and maybe you guys could agree with me, I can't imagine doing anything else.
Yeah.
Like, I can't imagine not doing stuff.
Do you ever say to people that say that, yeah, you can, you just have to fucking, like, do you think anybody can do it?
Yeah, I do. I'm one of those guys that think that anyone can do it. You know what I mean?
But only a few end up realizing what it takes and then don't want to do it, right?
Yeah, stick with it.
It's like this. It's like, you know, a kind of boot camp, like a 10-year boot camp.
Yeah.
It's like, do you want to do 10 years of boot camp? And they go, no. But that's why they don't want to do it.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Because failing on stage, you know what I mean, and walking through that fear, eventually you get used to it, right? So I can tell any young comedian, I'd say the first 100 times is going to be the worst human experience of your life, but eventually you'll get used to it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And see, I think they don't, and some people, when they do hear it in those terms, that's enough to make them go, I don't want to do it.
Yeah.
To hear, like, wow, to go through something 100 times and have it be awful.
Well, could you imagine?
Like, I never had somebody tell me that. That's why I went in so blindly. I was just like, got a couple laughs, and I was like, oh, cool, it'll keep getting better. This isn't so bad.
I mean, like, can you imagine being an accountant, and then someone says, hey, the first 200 accounts you're going to do, you're going to fuck up, and your client's going to go to prison for tax fraud. Yeah. You're like, okay, but then after that, you'll be really good at accounting.
Right.
Yeah, but
you're saying that because I'm Jewish?
Yes.
No, but the difference,
I'm trying to relate. You know, I figure you're Jewish, he's Asian, numbers.
But an accountant doesn't have to do it in front of people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's right.
Because they're in their office. So that we have that added thing, you know what I mean, that, like, we have to fail in front of people.
What's your worst show of all time?
Oh, God, I have so many.
Not even like worst show, but something that happened that was like.
Could I just tell
like
you?
Like, I've seen you, the lap dances you've given, you did one in DC to a guy who'd never been to a comedy club before. And he does a thing before the lap dance where he goes, I want to massage you and see where you're at.
Yeah.
And it gets, you know, and you start rubbing the guys. And it's hilarious. You start grabbing his shit, his junk. And this guy had never been. You could tell as soon as Bobby brings him on stage that this guy's never been outside before. He's just so awkward when he gets on stage. He shakes your hand weird. He flinched when you fucking first rubbed his shoulder.
Then
when his hand got down here, he grabs, like, it's quick a reflex and just snaps his, like, wrist.
Yeah.
And I remember, like, Bobby just looked down at that and looked at him and goes, I think we should find a different person. Like, because it was like this guy.
Yeah.
Because you're like, if you don't like that, this is going to go terrible.
You know what's coming.
Yeah. And the guy got off and they got some. But that's the only time that's ever happened because the guy was, like, clearly.
But that's not the worst show I've ever had.
But that was just a crazy moment.
I think the worst. Oh, can I just tell you something that happened the other night, though?
Yes, fire away.
In the OR, I was playing the Comedy Store, and Tommy comes up to me and goes, a prince is here. I go, prince? That's
yeah,
here?
Yeah, yeah.
He's like, no, an Arabian prince.
Wow. Just as exciting still?
What?
Just as exciting still?
I mean, it's more fear because I don't know how, like, and he goes, he wants to meet you, right?
Oh, boy.
So I approach this table. There's a show going on, right? Yeah. And he stands up, mm-hmm. right, to shake my hand. For some reason, I got on my knees. Because I didn't know what to do. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
I got on my knees. I grabbed his hand. I kissed it. He's like, what are you doing? And I go, I'm sorry. I don't know what to
He's
do.
He's like, I am just the friend of the prince. That is the prince. I'm Arsenio Hall to Eddie Murphy right now. Yeah.
And then he goes, oh, you know what he said after that? He goes, we've tried to contact you 1,000 times. You did not respond.
What? Through email or Facebook?
I don't know what he's talking about.
Through fucking prince.com?
I don't know what he's talking about. I go, I'm so sorry.
Did you not get the owl fucking that we sent you? Like what?
Yeah. But that's what he said.
He's been sitting outside your apartment.
Messenger rides in on camels with a scroll just like, we hereby decree to the Bobby Lee to come to where Arabian prince. Come to Arabia.
Yeah.
Tell your joke and he will happily have your half-naked body grind on him for your closing bit.
What do they want from you?
No, he just wanted to meet me, and I don't know
why. Dude, that's awesome.
And then Ahmed, he brought, you know, he came.
Yeah.
You know Ahmed, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you don't know the kind of power he has unless you've been to the Middle East with him.
Ahmed, comedian, Access to People comedy.
I mean, one of the sweetest guys on the planet. Yeah.
I went to the Middle East with him once, and one more.
What's it comparable to?
I don't know, but the thing is that it's like, I don't know who
like
he knows.
Justin Bieber at a shopping mall?
I don't know who he knows. I don't know, but just this is the thing, okay? Mm. One morning, we were at this nice hotel. We're in Abu Dhabi, right? And I was so hungry, you know, and I couldn't sleep. And I went down to the, like, you know, the bar area thinking that maybe they have food.
Yeah.
And he's sitting there with, like, 9 sheiks, you know what I mean? And they're talking, you know what I mean? Like, these guys, you could tell, you know what I mean, had money.
Okay.
You know what I mean? And he's holding court, you know what I mean? And that's when I knew, you don't fuck with Ahmed.
You had way more respect for him after that.
Yeah, I did. I mean, I've always respected him. I love the guy.
Of course, but when you see people like that.
Yeah, the guy is the shit.
Well, maybe you should be getting down on your knees and kissing his hand every time you see him.
No, I'm not. I refuse to do that. I will never do that.
That's amazing that your instinct was to just get down on your knees like that. Like,
well,
I mean, like you don't know how you're going to react
when
you see
a prince. Well, you're probably going from fucking movies like The Princess Bride and like Disney films. You're like, well, it's a prince. I guess I got to do this shit.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah, like I got to do that. Maybe he kisses me and I wake up. I don't know what the fuck is about to happen.
Well, like in Thailand, right? Like before a movie, they show a montage of the king. Do you know that?
What?
Really?
Yeah. So they show this
doing
five,
what?
Just
like cross dissolving shots of
farming,
him looking at the camera going, yeah.
Feeding. He's farming in this montage, feeding the homeless people. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? He's walking
just
with
showing
kids.
How great he is, as if he's running for office
and
again.
Let me tell you something. If you don't stand the whole time
during the montage?
During the montage, you could get arrested.
Wow.
So I stood, right? And here's another thing, right? If you say anything bad about the king, the people legally can just come back and kill you.
So if you're like, yeah, that montage was a little narcissistic.
Yeah, so like we got this booklet when I was there. Yeah. Cause I was doing a movie there and I got a booklet of things not to do. And I did all the things that you're not to do.
Of course he did.
Like,
we're comics. That's what we do.
The first thing was don't take your dick out and show the prince.
I would be walking down the street with another actor, right? And there'd be like a poster of the prince. Mm-hmm. And I would spit on it. And then I would freak them out, right? I would, you know what I mean? And just spit on it. And the actor going, what are you doing? You know what I mean? I
don't know. They were just like, haul last the American embassy. Safe.
Just I would just drive down the street in a cab, right? And there'd be a poster of the king. I'd go, fuck you, faggot.
You just love to see reactions.
Yeah, right? I just want to see what happens.
Well, and I'm about to be incredibly racist right now.
Yeah.
But you're in Thailand, so like you could do something like that, and then you could blend in
with
the rest of the
audience. No, they look a little different.
Blend in like
a
nipple, like a chocolate chip
nipple. Like a chocolate chip
nipple. You're the chocolate chip nipple in Thailand.
Like you don't know where it goes.
Yeah, I mean, no, because there are a lot of Koreans or Japanese. So yeah, I could blend in.
Yeah, whereas but it's like, the white actor's like, fuck, if I do something like that, it's kind of one of these, not like the others.
I think if I said it in Thai, like, fuck you, faggot, or whatever, to the mm-hmm. king.
What is it?
I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
Okay. But if I said it that way, I think that would
of course.
Get me in trouble.
Maybe, yeah.
But if I said it in American really fast, I think it's fine.
Yeah.
It's like, fuck you, faggot.
But they said you can't. You know, here's another thing that happened in Thailand. Mm-hmm. This is the fucking bullshit. So this is what
this was the movie you did that when I talked to you a
Michelle
few times.
Michelle Yao, yeah, yeah.
And you were living in a like a warehouse, right?
Yeah, yeah.
All right, you have to talk about that. Yeah. Tell a story.
So I got this movie where I was supposed to do a movie with Michelle Yao.
Yeah.
You know, she's a nice lady. She was in Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. And
and the pop star who, right?
Yeah, the Henry Lau. He's in a pop group called, I forgot what it's called, but huge, though. Yeah. Like,
just
he's the kind of guy like...
He's the Justin Timberlake of Thailand.
Yeah, I mean, people... No, in Asia in general.
Like, Asia in general.
He lives in Korea.
What's his most famous song?
I don't...
That's a huge hit, man.
I've roller skated to that.
Yeah. It's a hit, guys. So, like, Henry Lau, Michelle Yao, and this guy named Chin Han, who's in The Dark Knight.
Yeah.
Oh, you know him?
Yeah. He played the banker, right?
Yeah, yeah, that's yeah, right. Exactly. Right. So, they all have trailers, right? Meanwhile, I'm in a barn with 50 extras in over 100 degrees in the jungle, right?
Holy shit.
And it's like my face is like
it's like a Korean spa, like those.
A mosquito fiesta. Like, mosquitoes are like, hey, let's party on his face, right? And there's like a rave going on in my face, right? So I'm gonna like, just like bitten, you know what I mean?
Mosquito's got the glow sticks.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I'm there for 12 hours a day, right?
Oh, holy God.
And I would just kind of stare at other people's trailers, air conditioned. They have baskets of fruit. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm? You know what I mean?
They would walk out being like, "Oh, it's too cold in there."
Yeah, because you know, and I'm thinking to myself, I'm like fourth lead. Like I have a bunch of lines, right? And I'm with CAA, so I called CAA, right? And I go, "Hey man,
like straight out of Tropic Thunder, right?"
Yeah. They have me in a barn. And I can't, you know, I'm getting malaria, you know what I mean? And it's like, I'm getting sick. I feel like I'm getting sick.
Right? You tell him you need a motherfucking TiVo.
Yeah.
There's an insect rave on your nostrils.
And my agent was like, oh, I can't believe it. Right?
Actually
why,
angry?
Why did you tell me 3 weeks ago? Right? So then he called them and they go, we don't have trailer for him. And he's like, he gets a trailer. He's in SAG. You know what I mean? This and that. It's
again, fourth lead.
SAG, right? So they got me a trailer, right? But just to check this out, it backfired. Because the Thai crew from then on would treat me like shit.
What?
Like I'd be walking toward them. They're like, oh, here come Mr. Hollywood. we're going to call the agent and get a trailer.
Oh,
every move over is a Brad Pitt coming.
Somebody don't like a mosquito bite of your face.
Yeah.
In this country, it's a huge honor for mosquitoes to throw a rave on your face. And you just denied that.
Yeah. You know what I mean? And so, like, the whole
That's a sign
time,
of respect. That you disrespect the mosquito now.
Yeah. The whole time, it was like it was uncomfortable.
But, I mean, could you deal with that, knowing the fact that you now had a better sleeping condition? Were you like, I don't care, I'll take the abuse?
Well, they left me off the poster of the movie, right? My name and everything. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And they, I mean, it's like you make mistakes.
Who?
Yeah, you make mistakes like that. I mean, to me, it wasn't a mistake. You know?
No, but you weren't comfortable.
I know, but the thing is that, you know, in retrospect.
So you're saying sometimes just bite your lip, pick your battles?
Yeah. Because in retrospect, I'm like, you know, if I hadn't done that, then, you know what I mean, maybe things would have changed. But,
yeah.
I mean, I dealt with it. There's a lot of things like that I've made mistakes in, you know, in life.
I mean, but at the time, all you're trying to do, I mean, you're in Thailand. You're in a foreign land. You're not comfortable. You're in a sweatshop, essentially. Like, all that's missing is the needle thread and the Nikes.
Yeah, if
like,
you're at a Holiday Inn and the HBO's not working, obviously you're not going to make
it. It was the Thai crew. I mean, the executives and the people at the movie company were, like, still... Because when I went to the brothels and stuff, like, they were like, you know what I mean? They were cool.
But anyway. They're great, right?
Yeah.
were they Taco Bell brothel combos?
I didn't go to brothels, man.
No, of course not. Of course not. Why would you do that?
I wouldn't do that. I'm a Christian.
Exactly. You're good. You're a good Christian boy, Bobby Lee.
I didn't let me finish. I'm a Christian Bale fan.
Well, good for you.
You know, it's a joke that you don't do that I still wish you do. When we were in D.C. and we had walked by the Martin Luther King monument where he stood, and Bobby starts riffing on this joke about how he's like, what's the Korean equivalent for Martin Luther King? And he's like, what would that speech be? You know, like, and then do you say what you said?
Uh-huh.
I have a dreaming.
Oh yeah, I have a dreaming.
That one day white people will watch.
Watch the old clothes.
Dude, he went on this whole speech. Yeah. I'm dying laughing. Yeah. I was like, you got to try it out.
And I tried it on stage and it didn't work.
You tried it one time. How funny is that?
That's great.
Especially being in D.C. I don't know, man.
Yeah.
So funny.
You could do that.
I don't want to.
Commit to it.
Here's what it
How
is.
Often do you...
Yeah.
Adam Ray knows he has a very silky voice. He enjoys the sound of it.
Yeah.
How often do you...
How's your family? Good?
They're good, yeah.
You talk to Ned anymore?
I do. Yeah, yeah.
You do?
Yeah, I mean, and this is something a lot of people don't know, is that Bobby and I are both School of Mencia graduates. Yeah. We both opened for him for years. He actually did a benefit with me and Adam. We did a show in Fullerton for autism and raised $20,000 for autism.
Is it going to happen again? Boy, you should do it.
Yeah, Bobby would crush
it. Dude, it's an incredible old theater. It probably holds like 1,000 people. Oh, just super old and... In Brea.
I'll do it, yeah.
In Brea, too.
I mean, we text each other and stuff, you know. I just haven't seen him in a while. Yeah, we text each other.
Was he, so for a time in your life, you guys were great friends?
Well, I met Carlos in 1995.
Wow, and that's like, is that pre his first HBO special?
That was right around then, like right after that, you know what I mean? And
so this is still when he's talking like this, eh?
Yeah,
still got the heavy Mexican accent.
But he, you know, to his defense, he was, you know, not defense, I mean, he's... He was always so nice to me and good to me, and I love him. You know what I mean? I went to Honduras with him. When I didn't have a car, he got me a car.
Wow.
Like who does that?
Yeah.
You know
what I mean? And I mean, this is things that I try to tell people when they say, well, you know, what was it like, you know, opening for Mencia? Did you have to, like, watch your act or anything like that? It's like, no, shut up. He didn't do that shit. But, like, it was literally he would pay for every meal.
Every meal.
And if you were ever out shopping, he would say, hey, get whatever you want, throw it onto the pile that I'm buying, and I'll buy whatever you're getting, shoes, clothes, whatever.
Shit. Well, you adapted that. That's where you get that from, yeah?
I mean, yeah, I adopted it. And he also, like, did shit, like, you know, yeah, like, he would pay for every meal.
Because you pay for every meal.
But not only that,
comics.
He would, like, give you, like, bonuses and stuff, and, like, and he put you in situations that you normally wouldn't be in, you know?
Sure.
So it's like, you know, he... You know, and Paulie did the same with me, too, you know? So I always equate that Paulie Shore and Carlos were the guys that, like, you know what I mean, helped me out, you know, the most when I was young, you know? Mm-hmm. And I'm grateful for that, you know?
Sure. And I've heard stories of other guys opening for other comics. It's like, all right, here's $200. Get from this city to this city. We'll see you there. Have fun.
Yeah.
Like,
or if that, you got to find your way there. Yeah. Or, like, you know... You stay with 9 other people in a hotel room.
Right.
And Ned always get me my own hotel room. Yeah. And I mean, he'd make me golf. That's the only bad part.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Well, he assumed Korean. You probably like playing
golf. He'd go because I would cry. I always cry when I'm on a golf course.
Why do you cry?
I just hate it.
Why?
I hate everything about it.
Why do you hate golf so much?
I just hate it. I think it's stupid. I think it's dumb, and I hate it.
Yeah,
outdoors. Like...
I don't like any of it.
Any sport? Well, soccer, obviously. Yeah.
Yeah, but I wouldn't play it. I like watching it.
I would love to see you play soccer.
No. It would be a disaster.
I would love to see you guys play one-on-one soccer. By the way, on a big field, you have to be.
You
goal.
And I?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we actually wrestled one time in the Burbank Airport.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Who won?
I'm gonna go on a limb and say that I did, but I'm
I don't
not,
think you did.
You don't think
I did? That's ridiculous. That's absolutely ridiculous.
Well, but like Bobby knows pressure points I've never fucking heard of. Like he's he's like grabbing my shoulder blade. I'm like, why does my left leg work when you grab my shoulder blade, Bobby Lee?
Yeah.
What the fuck? And then so I had to headbutt.
He had been with that gigantic fucking.
Well, yeah. You know that head took him down in a limbo competition.
What do you mean?
We went to Cabo, right? About a month ago, and he entered a limbo competition, and it was between him and a black girl and an Asian chick.
Yeah.
And Brad lost.
That's hilarious. Well, how'd you go to Cabo?
Just for fun.
Yeah.
You guys just went to Cabo for fun?
Yeah.
Yeah, just went for fun.
This is like a vacay. Yeah.
And how long were you there for?
3 days.
Yeah. Was it fun?
He found a deal thing for like to rent a little room, and then we just stayed at the hotel all the time and went to the pool and.
Did you guys do a podcast there?
Yeah, we did one from there.
Yeah, we did one.
It was incredible.
Live from Cabo San Lucas, Mexico.
What do they look like, the people?
Mexican.
I know, but are there any hot chicks? Are there hot chicks?
Yeah, there are. Oh, yeah, a lot of ones.
Do you guys hook up with anybody?
I don't know what you're talking about, Bobby. Yeah, you know, nothing.
Brad was a hit, though. I mean,
I bet.
Standing on the middle of the island of the pool, shaking his ass, singing Fievel's There Are No Cats in America.
I get that. I could have had any song from the entire repertoire of songs I could have sang while on this little island in the middle of the pool, but I had all these eyes on me. I'm like, fuck, I better go to my go-to hit. There are no cats in America.
Tyler Franco would just swim from one end of the pool to the other, just making groups of friends.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, well, because, I mean,
people... But is that you get girls through the cute, you know what I mean, tip? Yeah. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Like, let's cuddle, and then you do a little Pearl Harbor sneak attack on their vagina? That's what you do, right?
I do. Just in the middle of the night, when they're asleep, they don't see it coming.
Has a girl turned you down before?
Oh, yeah.
So you're in bed with them and you try and move and they're like, I just want, what?
Yeah, no.
Like, what do they do?
It's like, no, I just want to cuddle you like you're a plush toy.
And then what do you say? Get out? Or do you let them spend the night?
No, see, here's the move is.
Tell me, teach me.
Okay. Here's the move. You have to be able to kiss them first. And once you start kissing and like things start getting good, then if you try to do something a little more and then they stop you, then you stop everything. You stop kissing. You stop hugging. You just turn on the TV. You sit down. You just don't even look at them. And that fucks with their heads.
Whoa.
Because they're like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Because what every guy does is they say, oh, okay, fine. I won't grab your tits. We won't do anything like that.
Yeah.
And then they just go back to kissing, and then she's complacent. That's, there.
No.
No, you just Jedi mind trick that shit and, like, don't do anything. Just cut off everything. She goes, what the fuck? What?
Or you force it. I force it.
Or Bobby Lee.
This podcast is brought to you by statutory rape.
No, not in that way. Not in that way. But what I do is I pull out the friend. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right, we don't have to have sex.
You
and I just
pull
go,
out the purple people eater?
Yeah, and I go, ah, right? And I just do it all over their body. I go, ah, right. I go,
so
it's going
like,
to rain.
So like black people are making it rain with coin.
Yeah,
Bobby
I mean,
Lee is making it rain with little Bobby Lees. Yeah.
I mean, because it's like, because once the juice is out of the sack, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Then it's over, right? You, like, you don't even want to.
By the way,
there.
That's what OJ said before he married both of them.
Yeah,
I'm
pretty sure that's what Johnny Cochran's defense of this was. Once the juice is out of the sack, you gotta let him go back. You gotta let him go back.
But you know, that's what I do.
Anyway. So you masturbate because when you're done masturbating, you don't care anymore.
Sperm is liquid love, right? It is, because when, like...
I wish we didn't laugh and just let that play out like a serious
moment.
Yeah,
because when the juice is out of the sack, right, you're like, there's no love, right?
Mm-hmm.
But when it's full, you know what I mean, you're like, I love you, you know? Mm-hmm. And there is a definite connection between love and sperm.
Totally.
I'm really being real.
Incredibly serious right now. This is as serious as this podcast is going to get.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There is a sense of, like, not that if I'm with a girlfriend and after we have sex, it's not like I don't love them, but I just don't love them as much.
As when you
like,
have a
well, it's more of a like.
Sperm.
It's more of a like.
Sure.
Right? But when it's full, it's like, I'm going to marry this chick, man. She's my, you know what I mean? She's my soulmate. But then, in the nut, and then it's like, oh, nah.
Does it ever sound like that, by the way? That's always a sound effect for people coming. It never, have I done it. And
well, I come out of my butthole.
He had a surgery when he was a kid.
Yeah.
Really, you don't know that? It feels better. It feels better that way,
I
right?
Mean,
better.
Yeah. I mean, you got to go to Thailand
but,
to do
butt
it.
Come?
Yeah. That, yeah. Butt come? Yeah.
Butt come. They're playing at the Troubadour by
They are playing at the Troubadour. They've been doing great shows all damn week.
Butt come.
Oh, well, you know what, Bobby? That's a good point. And I think I've even heard Bill Burr give the advice, like, guys, when you have a major decision you have to make in life, jerk off first.
Yeah.
And then see if, like, you still
see the one that does
that?
A bit about the terrorist, like, would have, like, something about they would have, if they just rubbed one out before they got on the plane, maybe they would have thought twice about taking it down.
That might be his bit. I don't know, but still, it's a very funny bit. Yeah. That's all. Yeah. And, but it's true. And, like, even if you're going to call a girl that you know you shouldn't call, like, that girl is, like, terrible for you, and you're like, ah, every time shit happens, just rub one out, then see if you want to call her.
You know,
and you won't want to.
You know what's funny? Is mm-hmm. that I never had that. Like, I'm just the other night I had a Facebook message from a girl that I had sex with once, like 10 years ago. She's still hot, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she just 4 in the morning she texted me. She said, "I'm horny," and just sent me that photo, that message.
Wow.
In my mind, no matter how horny I am, I'm not going to contact her because whatever I have to do around the sex, I don't
want
to do.
You just
which is listen to her. I'm being real. Like, to be around her.
Hug
you know
her.
You know what I mean? And it's like, it's not, like, and most guys would be there.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And then deal with the
You don't want the intimacy.
It's not that. It's just that.
The work.
Yeah.
It's, I'm not going to put myself, I'm older now, I'm not going to put myself in a situation where it's weird and uncomfortable, and then I have to lie or do something to deceive them. You know, it's like, not worth it. So I just would rather masturbate. You know,
yeah, there you go. Well, there's a comic, and you guys probably know, you guys know Jackson Perdue, right?
Mm-hmm. I love him.
Jackson Perdue has this great bit that just says it all right there. He says, "When it comes to pussy, I'm like a lazy infielder. Anything that's hit right to me, I'm snagging everything up, and I ain't diving for that shit anymore."
But even if it, no, but
that's perfect.
I don't even agree with that one. Because
you don't?
No. I won't even. I won't. If it's hit to me, I mm-hmm. won't even. Sometimes catch it.
You're like, eh, fuck it. You'll just
no, because
Bill
it's like,
Buckner.
There's
that.
So many things that could go wrong. You know what I mean? So it's like for me, it's like if I really like a girl,
yeah.
and I'm cool, then I'll do it.
Okay.
You know what I mean? But just to get sex is like not worth it to me.
So basically, what you're telling our female listeners is that if you are able to have sex with Bobby Lee, he really likes you.
Yeah.
He really likes
yeah.
you.
Yeah. I mean, there
so
is
that,
a...
So that is a privilege to fuck Bobby Lee.
Yeah, because there is, like... I really... And you're making a joke out of my little man butt thing. Hey, well, what time does this thing go
Mr.
to?
Because Hollywood. We have, like, 8 minutes left.
Okay.
Yeah. Two more things I want to touch on before we finish up here. Okay. Bobby's favorite sport is soccer. He yeah. pretty much has no interest in all the other sports. But have you ever heard him talk about basketball, Brad? No, you haven't. The man has a way of depicting and analyzing basketball.
I'm not doing that.
Huh?
You're trying to set me up for that thing. I'm not doing
no,
it.
No, I'm just telling him.
No, you're
I don't want you to do it.
Here, Adam Ray.
I want it. No, it's Ray. One of my favorite things that any friend. Bobby's getting it. No, don't leave. Don't leave. Don't leave.
Don't leave, Bobby. Come back.
You have a cigarette?
Yeah.
Okay, do it on the patio because we're actually not supposed to smoke here.
What?
We're actually not supposed to smoke here, but have one on the patio.
Have a cigarette on the patio.
I'm gonna hit pause.
Okay.
I'm gonna hit pause. Bobby got up. He actually got up. He's leaving. Hey, be kind of discreet out there, though. He does this thing. We're going to keep talking. He does this okay. thing. Bobby's actually got to be left.
He's going to rub his dick on the window. Don't rub your dick on the window.
He's rubbing his dick on the window. What's that?
No, don't do it.
He does this thing where the way he talks about basketball, well, yeah. he'll be like, oh, yeah, man, the guy, give it over to the hoop, and he put it up, the oop-de-oop shot. Yeah, man, it's the best. And when they put it in the, when they get it in the going, and they get it, and they're all loving it, yeah, man, that's the best.
Like so he's talking as the guys.
He's
that,
trying to be a
commentator
because he doesn't know anything about basketball. So he's, like, trying to, like,
okay.
his idea of, like, commentating. He's like, oh, the best is, like, when Kobe gets the shot, and then he gets it in the way that they all love it, and he's like, yeah, I'm loving this right now. Like, that's how he'll, and it makes me laugh a lot. And I was setting him up for it, and he got really pissed.
He got pissed off. Oh, well, but that's true. It's funny. Like you see when guys talk like and you see that sometimes that some guys don't know about sports but they want to
yeah.
be included.
Well, he said he has a thing too that he says that his way to he'll always just be like, look at the averages, but the averages are great, aren't they? His average is great, and that's a way for him to, like,
there you go. So just say the averages, great numbers. You coming back in, Bobby?
All right. Last thing,
tag back in.
Because this is interesting, and this is not setting you up, but this is interesting, that you, up until your Tonight Show appearance, your folks didn't support your comedy.
Yeah.
But I just want to hear, why, like, what about that Tonight Show, why was it Tonight Show, or what about that appearance, and then what did your dad say afterwards?
Well, my father, first he said, after he saw it, he said, how much did you pay them? How much did you pay them to do it? I go, what?
You thought you paid
them? You pay them 10 grand and then they pull you on? I go, no, they asked me, you fucking asshole. He actually thought that, like, I gave them money. That's mm-hmm. that's how show business works.
Wow.
Yeah. That you could just go, hey, I want to play Spider-Man and give them, like, $100,000 and then you're Spider-Man. You know what I mean? Like, he'd be the worst agent, right?
All right, like just we'll calling, give you.
Yeah, yeah. He's just calling, like, Warner Brothers. I want him to be Matrix, you know? Also, when you do Singing in the Rain, when he's Singing in the Rain, I want him to do be that guy where he's Singing in the Rain. Number three, I want him to do, you know, NFL's, you know, sportscaster, too, only on Sunday. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Like, that's how it works.
He really got it. Parents really do have a delusional.
They're delusional, especially immigrants. They don't know how it works.
Yeah, I was going to say, probably even more so. I mean, they're even further removed from the business, right?
Yeah.
Or did they grow up having any sort of idea?
Yeah.
When you first started getting into the business.
Or, like, when I played the Phoenix Improv, the stand-up live once, mm-hmm. my dad was there, and he would go up to audience members and go, you like him? And they're like, yeah, we're big fans. Oh, you pay money to come in here? You know what I mean?
It's all. Like, yeah, so then he started.
How much
he started to figure it out then?
How much did he pay you to sit in the audience?
Or, you know what I mean? It's like,
what kind of nipple do you have? Chocolate chip? Yeah. So, but then he started to put it together, yeah?
Well, then we put him on Mad TV a bunch of times.
That's awesome.
And he would get residual checks.
Oh, so then he loves show
Bobby,
business.
They pay me $500. Why? What's going on? I go, you just did that thing. Like,
did he enjoy it, or was he just out of
he's like, oh, I want to do more. You know what I mean? Awesome. So we had him up. Bump,
it was a huge moment to have him on there. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
How, like, were you nervous at all putting your own father on, on TV? That's like opening yourself up to.
He's where you get your funny, yeah?
Or? No, I mean, that's not where I got my funny. But the thing is that, no, because it was, I would never write something that my dad couldn't do. Mm-hmm. So you don't give him a lot of lines. You know what I mean? You
what reaction. What did he do?
You know Ike Barinholtz's?
Yeah.
Ike Barinholtz was on the Mindy Project, but Ike and I did a sketch where we went. He went to my parents' house for Thanksgiving. So we shot it as if it's like a reality show. But then we just kind of like, you know, we took a bath together. So it was me, Ike, my brother, and my dad.
Your real brother?
Yeah, Steve. Oh, completely naked. In a bathtub. In a bathtub, right?
Oh, my God. How does that phone call happen? That's what I want to know. Yeah. Hey, listen, Dad.
No, you don't tell him that. You have to wait until he shows up.
Oh, okay.
So then I remember my brother going, okay, I'm going to go. I have to go to the liquor store. I go, why? Dad will not get in the bathtub if he's not drunk. That's what he said. So we get him drunk. This is a TV show. This is Fox, right? We got him really drunk, and then he went into the bathtub. And every other line, he's like, I want to go home.
In the sketch.
No, yeah, but we had to cut it out, though. So every other line, he'd be like, I want to go home. I don't want to do this.
So what an actual...
There's cameras here that you just stay in the pocket. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah,
it's amazing.
And then, like, since then, has he been, like, more accepting and more supportive? Or just
well, if you know, he's struggling for his life right now, Brad, if that's what you want to know.
All right. And the show has reached a new low.
He's a fighter.
Yeah, he's a fighter.
He's a
lead. He had strokes.
He had strokes?
Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh. He had two. You know what the call I got last week? Did I tell you this?
No.
So fuck my mom. My mom does not know how to make phone calls. Like, really? Phone calls that are unnecessary. She goes, Bobby. Yeah, Mom. Daddy, he don't wake up. Dad doesn't wake up? He don't wake up. Is he dead? This is what she says. I don't know.
You don't know?
What the fuck? Check a fucking pulse, bitch.
What?
I'm like, I gotta call the ambulance. Call me right back. And then 5 minutes later, he wake up. It's like, how hard did you try the first time?
Holy shit.
Daddy, wake up. He dead. He dead. You know what I mean? So they had he had another stroke.
Oh, my God.
You know what I mean? He's stroke city.
That's
a good closer for the podcast.
Yeah, that's a great way to end. We're actually, that's a perfect time. Yeah.
Wait, so it's like your mom just, like, did she walk in the room, like, notes, shake him once? And
he wouldn't wake up. He wouldn't wake up, yeah. He was actually in a little coma.
But he's out of it.
Yeah, he's like on a bike and stuff.
Such a fucking fighter, man.
Yeah, it's like, but there's a part of me that's like, come on, dude, let's just get through it.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because you want a brand new. I mean, like,
no. It's just like every week. It's like a new health thing, and it's like, as you get older, it's like.
What's the one health thing just that's maybe like funny or weird that you feel like you're, because I feel like every comic as they get into their 30s and 40s, like even I'm like, well, you know, when you sit down and then all of a sudden your knee, like it hurts in a weird spot. Like, is there something for you that's in your body?
I think the one thing I've noticed though is like back to the sex thing. It's like I'm as horny, but I'm just not willing to like do certain things. You know what I mean?
Dude, I just heard Larry King on Stern talk about how he doesn't have any desire, and he said it's the best thing that's ever happened to him. He goes, I'm never going to get in trouble. I'm never going to be caught going to a hotel to whatever. He goes, I just don't even care. He goes, I get so much more done. He goes, sex ruins your life. He goes, when that's all like.
Yeah.
He goes, when you take that out of your life, he goes, you can have such a better life. But, you know, obviously there's pros and cons.
But then you don't come.
Out of your butt.
Come out of your butt. No, but I know. But coming, though, is like, you know, how many times have you come, Brent?
Oh, today?
No, well, just, been doing just this in podcast? General in your life.
Jeez. That'd be a question for St. Peter when I get to heaven.
I mean, you're talking hundreds of thousands of times.
What if that if that was an Inside the Actor Studio question? Brad, when you get to heaven, how many times would God like to tell you that you came?
Well, hopefully over 500,000. But yeah, a lot.
Yeah, and it's like it just gets to a point where it's like,
yeah, again,
enough's enough.
Enough's enough.
Yeah.
You're done.
Enough's enough. I think that's what Rick Moranis thought when he was finally done doing his movies. Like, you know, how many
his
more?
His wife died.
Did she really?
That's why.
Is that why he stopped?
Yes.
Bobby, you're killing us.
I love Rick Moranis. I've been in a constant.
He just didn't want to be a part of it. When it's like Gene Wilder, same thing happened to him.
Yeah.
It's like it's not worth it.
No, it's just you know, people fall in love like deep. And then when their loved ones are gone, they just can't do it anymore.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like, I mean, I think Rick Moranis is young enough. He'll come back. But I don't think Gene's done. You know?
Yeah.
Like, I know them. They're legends, but in my eyes. But
You've met Gene Wilder?
No, I don't know them. But, oh, okay. I mean, I was a huge Gene Wilder fan.
Sure.
Oh, he's a legend. You like him?
Love him. Willy Wonka is top three favorite movies for me. That character, it's unreal.
For me, Stir Crazy.
Oh, right. Stir Crazy.
That first half of that first half of that movie is the funniest first half of it.
What is, really quick before we get out of here, like, just a person in the business before you got into it that you looked up to that was just, that maybe either got you into it comedy-wise or made you go, I want to be like that guy, or just inspired you to even get into this?
Well, here's what it is, and I was talking to Dom Irrera, because he's my friend, and I remember I went Irrera.
And a legend.
In legend. 1996, mm-hmm. I was working the door in San Diego, and he came down one night at 3 in the morning and told these old Hollywood stand-up stories back from the 80s and stuff. Mm-hmm. And it was...
It sound so cool.
Not only that, it made me cry.
Really?
Of excitement. I just felt like, this is it. This is what I want to do, you know?
That's where you want to go.
Yeah, and I don't have that feeling anymore, and it's really sad.
What about that world was so... Well, I mean, I think I hear constantly that stand-up was just a cool
time.
No,
it's
not
that. No? It's just a part of the... You know, when you're growing up and you're a fan of stand-up, you don't mm-hmm. think that you could be a part of that.
Right.
Lineage.
It seems too big and out of your
it
reach.
Just, yeah, it's like my parents aren't from show business. I don't right. know how does one make it, you know? And so it's like when you're in it, and in the beginning, everything's so exciting. You know what I mean? And I just miss that.
Yeah.
I miss that feeling, you know, of like, oh my God, there's like hundreds of people here, and they're gonna watch me perform. Like, you know,
the
now it's like
nervousness that you get before every show.
Yeah, now it's like you see if it's not 500 people, you're like, oh, I suck, mm-hmm. and this sucks. But I want to get back to the place where there's 10 people here. I'm so excited.
Yeah,
you know.
Well, I mean, but. Bobby, this is the kind of business where you're always striving for the next level. And we're never, like, you never peaked at a stand-up. Like, Russell Peters sells out every fucking arena all over the world, but you know that he goes to bed at night and he still has goals. He still has things he wants to do.
He wants to be in movies and stuff. I know, but the thing is that what I'm saying, though, little man, is...
I'm trying to be sweet to you, Bobby!
I know, but what I'm trying to say is that... There is an innocence and that child in me, right, that mm-hmm. wants to dream and be in, you know.
Yeah.
And there's too much of, like, where's mine, you know what I mean? I got fucked. That kind of mentality, and mm-hmm. I no longer want to live like that.
Yeah.
Right. You just want to go back to the times when you were
do it. Yeah, yeah, I want to just be this young kid just going, I can't believe I get to do this.
Yeah,
doing it for fun.
And that's,
Well, here's what's going to happen, and here's what's already, I'm guessing, happened a few times, Bobby, is that you're going to inspire that feeling in other kids. Other people are going to see you
do
stand up.
There's no
comedian
on the planet that fucking takes more time out of his day to give advice or to, like, give encouragement to people. Mm-hmm. Dude, I was nobody when you just fucking came up to me.
Yeah, but you know, you behave that way and still, you know, you're one of the good ones, but some of them, they fuck you at the end, don't they?
But
you help people out and they just fucking raw fuck you in the asshole without a condom.
I'm pitching shows soon, one to Paul Feig's company that. With
yeah, I love Paul, but the thing is the people raw fuck you without a condom. I have a hate box, bro.
Do you?
Dude, I have a box in my heart, right? Mm-hmm. It's made out of, like...
It sounds like a Justin Timberlake song. Or a song from the Asian pop star. I have a box in my heart.
I have a box in my heart made out of wolf bones. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like a doctor.
And fear. Mm-hmm. It's made out of wolf bones and fear.
Holy shit.
And there's a lock on it, right? Every once in a while, I'll open it, and I'll put a name in that box, and I'll close it, okay? And there's probably about 40 names in that box.
Whoa.
And I don't want to get into the names.
No. That'll be the next podcast.
Yeah. But it's like, it's deep, bro.
Bobby Lee's hate box.
And when it opens, because one day I'm going to open it. Right? When I'm...
Shit.
You know what the key is? The key is more success, right? Mm-hmm. But once I have the key to more success, I will open it, and you'll see what happens.
I feel
follow
like
Bobby on Bobby Lee Live on
Bobby
Twitter.
Lee Live on Twitter.
That's a great place to.
I feel yeah. like
that's a great place.
I feel like when Bobby goes on a shooting spree, they're gonna listen to this podcast and go, "There were signs. There were fucking signs."
A shooting spree. No, he'll just
go. The Bobby Lee hate box.
He'll just go around throwing oranges at all the chocolate chip nipples.
No, it's not gonna be anything like devastating.
Of course, no. Right.
It's just gonna be like, you know what I mean? You're out.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Sure. You lost out.
You lost out because of your selfish behavior.
Sure.
Well, Bobby.
And the kind of life where you only think of yourself.
Sure.
And I could just name names, but I'm going to wait.
I don't know. Let's hold on.
There's some
I can name one. Raven Simone. You're
fucking
out, girl.
You know I love Raven. You know that.
Do you really know her?
Oh, yeah.
Do you really?
Shit. Yeah. In fact, Mark Curry last night said Raven says hi. So go fuck yourself.
Are you kidding?
Say that. I love Raven.
Oh my God, that's unbelievable.
Fuck yourself. Go fuck yourself.
Why do you hate Raven Simone?
I don't know. I was making a joke. That's just a name.
Give me somebody that's. Anyway, let me say something, okay? There are some gatekeepers in that box, too. Mm. You know who the gatekeepers are?
Who?
Some casting directors. And they're in the box. They're in the Bobby Lee Hate box. So that's that.
Bobby, I just want you to.
Except Allison Jones is in my love box.
She loves you.
If I don't have. Let me say something about Allison Jones, and this is the last thing I want to say. It's like if I don't do a single thing on planet Earth in terms of show business. I love you, Allison. That's all I have to say. You're the best.
Bobby Lee loves
Your Curb Your Enthusiasm episode, which you still haven't seen, is still
but
my favorite
Everything
episode.
I've done, Arrested Development, Dictator.
Have you seen his Curb Your Enthusiasm episode? Episodes?
I've seen almost every episode of Curb.
Fifth season?
Yeah.
Plays the Korean bookie with Larry. It's incredible.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
You don't remember that was Ken Jeong? You fucking.
Sandro.
All right. Thank you. I love you.
Bobby Lee. Twitter. Where fun?
Yeah.
Bobby Lee Live on Instagram and Twitter. Bobby Lee Live.
Hey, you're posting a lot of pictures now. I love it.
Anyway, bye.
Bye, Bobby. Thank you.
Bobby Lee, go see Bobby Lee Live. If he's coming to your city.
The country.
Hilarious.
Check his tour dates.
And just a beautiful person.
A great person.
Bobby Lee is a beautiful person.
Who comes out of his butt.
Longest podcast I've ever heard.
No. An hour, 10 minutes. Follow me at Twitter at Adam Ray Comedy. Tour dates at AdamRayTV.com. Go.
I love you.
I love you. Thanks, Bobby.
Thanks, Bobby. See you, buddy.
Love you.
Adam Ray Comedy on Twitter, AdamRayTV.com. And Bobby's taking his pants off. Bobby just got naked in the apartment.
It wouldn't be a podcast if his dick didn't come out.
It wouldn't be a Bobby Lee. It wouldn't be a Bobby Lee appearance if Bobby didn't get naked. Bobby, thank you for that. It was a privilege to see your purple dick. Follow me on Twitter at FunnyBrad. All my tour dates, BradWilliamsComedy.com. What's up? What's up, Bobby?
Who?
What are these faggots?
Okay. That's it for the show. Wrap us up, Brad.
Please try to remember our names in the morning. Go see the movie The Heat.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schleichinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years. One of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.